Wonderful. I feel really honored that I've been given this award. It's absolutely brilliant. And this is all for my fans out there who have voted for me. And I would like to thank my family for being patient with me. And thank you for my agent, Alan. I mean, you have been brilliant. You have been absolutely wonderful. And I'm terribly sorry. I feel that I was in a place where they do these awards every year. That was a wrong platform. I would like to thank my Lord Jesus, because I am in a different platform. I would like to thank my God who has saved me. I would like to thank Jesus that has got mercy. I would like to thank the Lord who is my maker. This is what I am. I'm not in a ward place. I have changed atmosphere now. I am in the presence of a living God. I'd like to say thank you, Jesus, because he's a good Lord. He's a good God. He's an amazing Father. He's everything that I've ever wanted. He's everything that I ever will want forever and evermore. I would like to bless the Lord my God. So thank you this morning for the opportunity to share with you. I would say thank you to Pastor Gordon for allowing this to take place. And the message I have this morning is entitled, God Will Talk About You and God Will Protect You. And my prayer really that, you know, that as the word goes out, that each and every one of us, including myself, that we will hear what the Lord has got for each and every one of us. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the word will not just come to us today, but it will be a word that will have a meaning for our own lives as we go on in the course of this week and the months to come and the years to come. Because the word has got a meaning. So if you would have got your Bible, would you please open with me in the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 1 to 22. Hallelujah. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1 to 22. But right now, we just want to read verse 1. And this is what the Bible says. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. I think we'll read it again. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, and he feared God, and he shunned evil. Your reputation matters. Your reputation in God matters. There is the man that is being presented to us, and the Bible says he was blameless. The Bible says that he shunned evil. He was a good man. His reputation went out, and many people knew about Job because he was a man of integrity. He was a man who feared God. He was a man who loved God. What do people say about you? Your reputation in God matters. The Bible says that since we have come into Christ, we are a new creation. We have been changed. The moment we come to Christ, we are new, and therefore our reputation in God matters. It's not about the amount of things we have or the things that we know, and are we worried about, you know, what people say about us, but the fact that we have come into the kingdom of God, the fact that we have now become children of God, the reputation we carry as children of God is absolutely important. We'll read, and there are various other people that have been talked about in that way, and that's in the book of Acts chapter 10, if you turn with me. The book of Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, it says at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Isn't that something that we want to aspire to? That wherever we go, that people will talk about us in that sense, that there goes a man who fears God. There goes a woman who loves God. There goes a person that really lives with integrity. So your reputation is very, very important. How do people know about you at your work, at the church, at your family? How do people know about you? There's a lady that we can read about also. If you just turn one page before in the book of Acts, and that's Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Not regularly, but always. Does your reputation change? Or are you regular in the way you are known in God? Would people see that there is a difference in you, or will people see that you are consistent in being a faithful servant of God and being somebody that cares about others? Your reputation matters. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 4 also, we read that, you know, Daniel was a man that has got outstanding reputation because of having God in his life. So our reputation really matters. So this is just an introduction as to where we are going. And also we are reading now in the book of Job still, and starting from verse 4 to 5, we pray and we intercede on behalf of our families. We are reading that Job had many children. And it says that it was the custom of his children to gather together and just have feasts and have fun and just be what they wanted to be. And it says Job, being a man who had a good reputation, who feared God, it says that it was his custom not only to always, after they had this period of feasting, to pray on behalf of his children. He says, just in case that they have cursed God, just in case that they have gone wayward, just in case. And we do the same for our own families. We pray for our sons and daughters. We pray for our aunts. We pray for our uncles. We pray for those who are close to us because we care about them. We pray for them because it is important to intercede on behalf of those who are close to us, who somehow either they know God or they don't know God. Why do we pray for people in our families who don't know Jesus? Because we believe that as we pray for them, that somehow God in his mercy will draw them to him. That's why we pray. So we intercede on behalf of those who are close to us. And just like Job, we are needing to constantly and regularly do that, because it is important for us to do so. Because we follow God, we know God, and we are close to God, and God hears our calls on their behalf. So there is a story which is a wonderful story in the book of Genesis. You remember Abraham. The Bible says Abraham had a nephew, and his nephew was Lot. And nephew went to live in a different place, and one day the angel of God said that, you know, I will destroy the place where Lot was. And that was in Sodom, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says, having heard that, Abraham decided to intercede on behalf of his nephew and his family. And what he did, he went before God and he said, if there were 50 people in this land Would you have mercy and not destroy it? And the Bible says God said yes. If I can find 50 people in this place, I will not destroy it. And Abraham, the Bible says, went on to say, well, and what about if there were 45? The Bible says God said yes. If there were 45, I will prevent disaster coming upon this land. And then he was negotiating with God, and he went on to 40, and he went on to 20, to 30, and then 20. And eventually he decided, and how about 10? Should there be only 10 people in this land? Would you have mercy and not destroy it? And the Bible says, if there were 10 people, I will spare it. And then the angel of the Lord went. How many times do you want to keep on praying? Do you give up at the first time? How many times do you pray? And here it is, you know, Abraham is negotiating with God. He didn't say, well, okay, I know that there are not 50 people in my family, so therefore, we'll just leave it as that. But he is going on and on and on and on to the point that he's hoping that there will be 10 people in this family and that God will show mercy. Do not give up on your prayers. Have you prayed 50 times? Have you prayed 40 times? Keep praying because God is listening. God is listening. Hallelujah. Now, as I said, the main topic this morning is that God talks about you. God talks about you. God talks about you. If we read together now in Job chapter 1, Job chapter 1 and from verse 6 to verse 8. This is what the word of God says. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. So here is the scenario. God is there and his angels come in his presence. And the Bible says Satan tags along. He tags along. And the moment he does that, God addresses him and say, have you considered my servant? God is talking about Job. At the beginning of the chapter, we have heard that Job had a reputation of a man who was blameless and who loved God and who shunned evil. And God is testifying the way his servant was. God is talking about Job as a testimony. God is saying, have you seen my servant? God is talking about you today. From heaven, God is saying, have you seen Alan, where he is sitting today at Elim, Edinburgh? Have you seen what your name is, Jennifer and Jane and Matthew and James? God is talking about you. He's looking at your heart, and he knows he's delighted with you. And God is testifying because he's a servant of God. He's a man who is faithful. God begins to talk about him. Isn't that wonderful that our God, our Maker, will look down and addresses the angels and say, have you seen Jeff? Have you seen Jennifer? Have you seen Mark? Have you seen them? Because they are walking faithfully. They are walking righteously. They are walking blamelessly. God is expressing his delight concerning you. The moment that we have changed, we have come into Christ, the Bible says we are a new creation. And God is delighted, not so much for us to boast about, because there is nothing to boast about except for Jesus being in us. You haven't said amen yet, but it doesn't matter. Because the truth is, Jesus is with us. And he's talking about us. Isn't that exciting? That our God is talking about me. He's interested about me. He said, have you seen him? Not so much for me to go and, you know, being puffed up and say, have you seen me? No, sir. It's about how God sees me in grace and mercy. And so God is saying to Satan, have you considered my servant? And God knew that Job was carrying a good testimony. Have you seen my faithful servant? And God is saying, have you seen my children at Edinburgh? Have you seen them, the way they praise me? The way they worship me? The way they honor me? Have you seen Edinburgh Elim, how they lift up their hands to heaven to proclaim that there is no other God but the one who has made them and who has given them the freedom to come together this morning to worship and praise him? You haven't said amen yet, but it doesn't matter, because I will say it as I feel it, because the Bible says that the Lord is talking about you. Don't look around. Look at yourself. God is talking about you today. If there is anything that you can go home with today, it is that God is talking about you. Go home with that. Because our God knows everything. He knows everything. You remember the woman who had a conversation with our Lord Jesus at the well. And she was so amazed after the conversation went on, and she went back to the village, the Bible says, and she said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Everything. God knows everything that goes on in your life. Everything. There's not one moment, and just like what's been shared this morning by Jillian, that where you think that God will not find you, he will find you. Where the people can't find you, Jesus will find you, because he knows everything about you. And so he talks about you. Isn't that exciting? You haven't said amen yet, but I will say it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's so exciting. We say it how we feel it. In the book of John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, and that's the second part. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, the second part of it. It says, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Now, that's worth an amen. God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. 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 That means the thing that you're going through right now that nobody else knows. That means the thing that are waking you at night that nobody knows. That means the thing that are bringing heartaches in your soul that nobody knows, but he knows, because he is God. He knows because he made you. The Bible says while you were still in your mother's womb, he knew you there. Isn't that exciting? That the God that I am serving, he's not a dead God. If he was, I'm wasting my time being here. He's a living God. And the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. That's exciting, don't you think? It's very exciting. So God knows everything. The thing that you're going through right now, he knows. And he cares. And it's like God coming round and just touching your shoulder. And he says, I know. God is saying, I know. I know. He knows everything. How exciting is that? God is saying, I know everything. Hallelujah. He knows everything. And he knows that to such a degree that he calls each one of us by name. Each one of us. Now, if we were to do a survey, I probably will fail because I do not know everybody's name in here. I know our pastor is so skilled in that way. I feel amazed that Pastor Gordon will just, you know, call out names here and there, you know. But let me tell you how many billions of people there are in this world. And the Bible says he knows every name. Every name. So God is calling you today. God is mentioning your name today because you are his, because you belong to him. And that's the same for you who are out there on the internet watching today. God knows you. And God is calling you by your own name. The name that he has set out for you. And sometimes the name that our families give us, sometimes, you know, people feel heartaches in the names. But the name that God gives you, because you're a new creation, that changes everything. God knows everything. And so God is talking about you. And we move on into the story, and from verse 9, God protects us. God puts a hedge around us. And if we read from verse 9, this is now after God has given a good testimony about Job, about you, about me. And this is what it says. Then Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And it goes on. And it goes on. The minute that God has already spoken concerning Job and have us given a good account concerning Job, it says, if you forgive the expression, all hell breaks loose. Because the difficulty and the problems and the heartaches and the test and the troubles that Job is about to face begins the moment God talks about Job. And sometimes it's like that. Because God is giving a good account. And it says that God is absolutely certain of who his servant has been. And because of that, Satan has said, well, you know, if you didn't give him what you've given him, he probably wouldn't serve you like that. If you have not been so kind to him the way you have been, he probably will not follow you as faithfully and as blamelessly as it is written in here. But God was sure that his servant would not change. Absolutely certain and secure in the knowledge that Job will remain faithful to him. And so the story goes on. And so the problems and the difficulties that he is facing begin. The Bible says that Satan is our accuser. And he's starting to plot some problems for Job. And in your own life, how many times that Satan comes around and creates difficulties. And these problems and the tests that you're facing that have absolutely nothing to do with the fact that you've done something wrong. It's got nothing to do that we have lived a life which is not right. It's got nothing to do with the fact that, you know, perhaps you have said things that you meant not to say and all that, but simply because you are a child of God. Simply because God begins to talk about you. To say, have you seen my children at Edinburgh Elim, how faithful they are? And Satan turns around and says, well, you know, because you've put a hedge around them. It's because you're protecting them. Because you're doing good to them. That's why they are like that. And God said, okay, if that's what you think. He said, now take everything he has. God is protecting us. What is very important here is for us to read this. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Have you noticed that God is saying, take everything he has? But on the man himself, on his life, do not put a finger. Aren't we glad that God is saying, Satan, no matter what the troubles you put in their life, do not touch their lives. You haven't said amen, but I will say it anyway. God is saying that no matter what the issues that you are going through, no matter what the difficulties you are going through, Satan has no impact, has no authority to touch your life. Now that's worth an amen. He cannot touch your life. You may say to yourself, I am going through the things which is just, my world is coming apart. We are about to read in here what Job is facing. He says, one day when his sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine and at his brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby. And it says, the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servant to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. The problems begin. And he went on, and it says, while the first one was reporting the issue that he was facing, there's another one that turns up. While he was still speaking, it says, another messenger came. And in verse 17, and it says, while he was still speaking, another messenger came. And number 18, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. While he was still speaking, why you think that this is the worst I am facing, something else comes on into your life. And you say to yourself, I don't want this. How much more can I deal with this? And it says, while you are still going through the test, there is more that piles up on your life. And we don't understand. Why would so much pain come to a man? A man that has been blameless. A man that the Bible talks about saying he was a man who feared God. And God is talking about you. And God is protecting you. And God is saying, even now that you're going through what you're going through, I am on your side. You haven't said amen. I am on your side, God says. I am on your side. Now that's very exciting, that it doesn't matter what we go through. We don't belittle the things we go through. Sometimes we ask God, but why? But why? We don't know why. But what we know is that God is faithful. What we know is God will protect us in the midst of what we're going through. Because Satan will not put a finger upon your life. Because God will not allow it. God will not allow it. So God will protect us even though things are happening in our lives. And things will not be pretty. And things will not be nice. Things will not be things that really we want to have in our lives. But we notice that in the midst of all this, Job never blamed God. We read in verse 22 of the first chapter, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. See, that's what Satan wanted. Because Satan said to God, it's because you've given the man everything he wanted. You've blessed his life. And take away all this, and you'll find the man will walk away from you. And Job, the Bible says, didn't. See, God knew right from the beginning that as he talks about Job, he knew that Job will remain faithful to him. Does God know that about you? That when you're facing what you're facing, that when Satan comes and say, blame God for what is going on in your life, that it will be written concerning you that in all this, Alan did not sin by charging God with wrongdoings. In all this, James remained faithful. They did not blame God for neglecting him. They did not blame God for rejecting them. They need not blame God for forgetting about them. Does God know that about you? That you will remain faithful no matter what you're going through? That you will not look to heaven and say, you have forgotten me. Why should I walk with you anymore? The Bible says Job did not say that, because he knew the God he was serving. That the God he was serving, despite the heartaches that he is facing, despite the difficulties that he is facing, God will remain faithful to him. Does God know that you will remain faithful to him? Oh, I pray to God that he will help us to remain faithful to him. In the book of Habakkuk, that's one of my favorite verses. The book of Habakkuk, and this is on chapter 3. And verse 17 to 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Despite the fact that nothing is working, I still choose to praise my God. Is it easy to say? We look at Job's life, and he is praising God in the midst of his difficulties. My encouragement to you today is that in the midst of what you're going through, which our God is aware of, because he's the God who knows everything, in the midst of what you're going through, please remain faithful, because he will not abandon you. He cares about you too much to let you just while away. God cares about you too much. He cares about you too much. You haven't said amen. He cares about you too much. More than you can imagine. More than you can ever think. God cares about you. And so the thing that the test you're going through, and the tests that are happening because you are a child of God, the tests that are happening because the accuser wants to prove you wrong, and we want to prove him that we are right, that the God that we have is a great God, that the God that we have is a faithful God. And so we walk in the ways of our God. Hallelujah. Because the truth is, had it not been for the Lord, it could have been a whole lot worse for Job. He could have just lost his life altogether. And will we talk about Job today? It could have been a whole lot worse. But God said, don't touch his life. And you look at your own life, your own situation. May I suggest to you that it could have been a whole lot worse had you not have God on your side. It could have been a whole lot worse. Because we look around us, there are situations and circumstances of people, they don't have God, they don't have Jesus. And my word, do things get worse for them? The difference is we have God. We know any better than them. But mercy has come to us, and we have received Jesus in our lives, and he cares about us. And he watches over us day and night. In fact, the Bible says that he who watches over you, O Israel, he is not sleeping. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. Can I say that that word applies to you today? That God is not sleeping. He's watching over you today. In the midst of what you're going through. And there are some of us who are going through some of the most difficult things that one could ever imagine. Only you know. But the one who made you, he also knows. Not just does he know, but he cares. The illustration I gave earlier, he's tapping over your shoulder. And he's saying, don't forget that I know. And I care about you more than you can ever think. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just amazing that we can look to heaven and say, he knows what I'm going through. And he cares too much. In the book of Psalm 91, if you just turn very quickly with me, 91 verse 4, we'll be finishing in a minute. Psalm 91 verse 4, hallelujah. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. He will cover you, and under his wings you will find refuge. God is talking about you, and God is protecting you. He has not let you go on in life on your own. He's watching over you. His wings are covering you. His wings are covering you. And you are safe in him. Does that mean that you will not have problems? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that you will not face any tests? No, it doesn't. It just means that he cares enough to go into it with you. God is going into the test with you. Because God is putting his name under the line, so to speak. Because he said, I know you, and you are faithful. Because he is talking about you in heaven. He's talking about you in heaven. God is talking about you in heaven. God is talking about you in heaven. Amen. Amen. So when I'm going through what I'm going through, I remind myself that I'm not in it on my own. Because if I'm going in it on my own, I would lose. I would lose. I would lose. As I said, you know, we'll be finishing in a moment. Psalm 23, if we can read that and pay very much attention to it together. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 4. Can I ask you to do something? Would you stand with me as we read this word? We'll read it and you can sit down, but I think it's significant. This is what the Bible says concerning you today and those who are watching over us today. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Shall I read that again? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. Please have a seat. Amen. God is saying, I know that you're going through the valley. It doesn't say here, if I walk through the valley. No, 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 no. It says, though I walk. In other words, I am going through the test right now. I am going through life today. I am going through the difficulties today. But what I know is that God is with me. God is saying, I am with you. And the devil comes and says, he has departed. God has departed. And we turn around and we read this. We say, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. I fear not the enemy. I fear not to be snatched away from the presence of my God, because he is on my side. And the Bible says, if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? It doesn't mean that I will not have the test. But if the Lord is for me, if the maker of heaven and earth is for me, if the God of Israel is for me, if the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is for me, who can be against me? Because he's talking about me. He is talking about me. He's talking about you today. God is on your side. God is on your side. So, and sometimes it just seems that, you know, there won't be any opportunity to come out of what we're going through. But we remind ourselves how faithful our God has always been. See, that's why the Bible talks about sharing the testimonies. You look back and say, when I was going through what I was going through, God came for me. God answered my prayer. And therefore, today, I am facing a new test. And God comes through. So we talk about how he has been faithful in the many things in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we remember the many times God has rescued us. So we tell how great our God is. You see, when we face Satan, when he comes in and the difficulties, the test that we are facing, we don't go to Satan and say, well, look how good I am. Look how powerful I am. Look how able I am. Look how intelligent I am, because I will find a solution into the problem that I'm facing. No, we say to Satan, look how God is. How my God is. How good he is. Look how mighty my God is. Look how faithful my God is. Look how amazing my God is. Look how powerful my God is. That's what we say to Satan. That's what we say to the situation. That's what we say to the test that we are facing. Because our God is good. You haven't said amen. In the name of Jesus, we face what we face, and we look and we give glory to God. It's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about him. Because we have been renewed. The Bible says we have been grafted into the kingdom of God. We have been grafted. In other words, we didn't belong before, but now we do. Now we do. Hallelujah. I am a child of God, and there's nothing that I go through that will take that away. There is nothing that the enemy can say that will take that away. The test that I am facing, the difficulties that you are facing, they are there and they will always be there. But one thing we know is our God is on our side, and we have no reason to fear. And we give glory to God. And we give glory to God. Amen. That's worth an amen. That's worth looking up to heaven and say, how good you are. How amazing you are. It's not about us. It's not about the circumstances. It's not about anything else but the Lord our God. Because he is faithful. Amen. It is right. Yes, it is right. He is faithful. Always. Sometimes we go through what we go through, and doesn't feel that way. Because the situations are overwhelming. After all, we're human beings. They're overwhelming. But remember, God is tapping on your shoulder. He says, I know it is overwhelming, but remember, I'm on your side. I am on your side. Hallelujah. God is talking about you. And we have to remember the truth. I'm just about to finish now. There's a film that will remain nameless, but you can probably understand, you know, the scene out of it. This man was talking about, you know, says, "I tell us the truth." And the man kept just ignoring that. He didn't want to say, "Tell us the truth. We want to know the truth." And he carries on and he carries on. Afterward, the one who is meant to answer, you know, he snapped. He said, "You want to know the truth? Can you handle the truth? Can you handle the truth? Can you handle the truth to know that in the midst of what you're going through, God is on your side? It may not feel like it, but God is there. Can you handle that truth? That the tests you're going through today, that God is aware of them, and yet it seems that, you know, there is no way out. Can you handle the truth? He who is in me is greater than the one in the world. Can you handle that truth?" Hallelujah. Our God is good. Can you handle that truth? Our God is good. I mean, the man is here and he's got about 4 or 5 tests, including what was so much more precious to him, his family. They've been taken away from him. It just took one moment. Everything is gone. Do you feel like that sometimes, that nothing is left? Everything is gone because of what I'm going through. You feel that way. But can you handle the truth that God is aware of what you're going through today? Can you handle the truth that God knows what you're going through and he says, "I care about you more than you ever think"? God is in here today and he's talking to you. Don't look around you. He's talking to you. And he says, "I know. That's why I talk about you. I know. That's why I protect you. So the things that you're going through will not take your life. Because God said to Satan, do not lay a finger on my servant." Can you handle the truth? God, help us to handle the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that good? Now that's worth an amen. Amen. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will set you free from the worries of thinking, will it happen? God is on your side. If you're going home today, if you are at home today, know that God is on your side. You're going through what you're going through. Sometimes it's because it's life. Sometimes it's because God is talking about you. Keep doing what you're doing. Because the Lord knows that you will not curse him. Because your God knows that you will not depart away from him, even in the midst of what you're going through. And that's so exciting. I think I'm in the right place because all of us have gone through life and we are tested. If there is anybody in here that has not faced a test ever in your life, if you would like to raise your hand, I'm in the right place. So I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me. And God is talking to you today and God is talking to me today. That it matters not what you're facing. It's what, and again, it's not belittling anything that you're going through. It's just that knowledge, that truth that we have, that it, no matter what I go through, my God is on my side. And if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? Not even the problems, not even the difficulties. I think in the book of Philippians, I think in fact, we better read it. If I am wrong, I will tell you. And we will finish with that. We shall finish with that just now. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, I think it is. You will soon know if I know the Bible or not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I was right. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, you remember I said to you earlier, can you handle the truth? We'll finish with this. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. And I'll tell you what's praiseworthy, that our God is faithful. That's praiseworthy. I'll tell you what's praiseworthy, our God never fails. That's praiseworthy. What's praiseworthy is that our God cares about our children. He cares about those we are praying for, our families. So you have been praying for 10 years and you think they will never change. Are you God to know that? Keep praying. Abraham prayed. He said 50, 45, 40, 30. What that tells us is that he was faithful in praying. Keep praying, because your God knows. So God talks about you, and God protects you. Can we just stand and just pray? And